Welcome to this week's edition of The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Wildfires burning out west recently brought smoke and haze to the First State. It's the latest instance in what's becoming a growing regional trend, with prolonged poor air quality stemming from wildfires in the western part of the U.S. or wildfires in Canada. This week, Delaware Public Media's Kyle McKinnon spoke with Angela Marconi, director of DENREC's Division of Air Quality, about how to make sense of the Air Quality Index and ways to protect yourself from lingering wildfire smoke.
Let's get some of the basics down when we're talking about air quality here. The Air Quality Index, or the AQI, only goes up to 500. Good AQ or AQI is under 50. Could you give us some insight into those numbers and how exactly air quality is measured?
Sure. So the AQI is EPA's way of trying to make some pretty complex science really easy to understand for everybody, either using the numbers or using the colors. Green is good. That is 0 to 50. Then we go yellow, orange, red, purple, maroon. When you're in high numbers like that, it's all about behavior change and making sure that you're making decisions that are protective of your health, and hopefully that you've already set yourself up for success if you have medication, that you already have it with you, and that you're making decisions like that. For the most part, we see readings that are either green or yellow. And in Delaware, we usually have a few days of the year for ozone where we go orange. And recently, we've seen some higher levels of a particulate matter, but I wouldn't say that that's the new norm yet. We haven't quite gotten there.
And so is it all just smoke that's affecting, you know, our air quality here, whether it's now over the weekend, another time period, or, is there anything that's more specific to Delaware that might be impacting the data?
So, I mean, Delaware has long struggled with pollutant transport coming from upwind states into Delaware and bringing ozone precursors. And then we see the ozone formation happening in Delaware. So ozone is a secondary pollutant. It's not something that's emitted directly. Volatile organic compounds or nitrogen oxides are emitted directly from all sorts of sources, like mobile sources, cars, trucks, from factories or oil refineries or the facilities that make our electricity. And then the volatile organic compounds and the nitrogen oxides react with the sunlight to make ozone. So that happens. We get those compounds from other places coming into Delaware. And one of the things that happens is when you have transport of wildfire smoke, the wildfire smoke contains those compounds too. So it's not only bringing in particulate matter, but it's bringing in ozone precursors. And then when you have the sun come out and a hot, sunny summer day, you can end up with high particulate matter and high ozone. And we did see that somewhat last summer.
So those kind of things kind of compound in a way. But in terms of, you know, geography or wind patterns, how does that factor into AQ and how smoke or other pollutants kind of linger in a region like ours?
It factors in hugely, so much so that we work with a special forecasting company. In DENREC, we do not have meteorologists on staff to do that level of work because it is so complex. So we work with a company called Sonoma Technologies, and they give us an air quality forecast every day during ozone season. We post it on our website and it's available. It's at de.gov/AQI. And you can read, and it reads just like a regular weather forecast. Winds coming out of the south and, you know, will cause dispersion or whatever. And they watch that really closely. So you can also sign up for our email listserv at that website, de.gov/AQI. And then you would get an email if we do forecast an air quality action day.
You mentioned before that this might not be necessarily a new term or a new norm, I should say. But looking at this long term, you know, and how something like climate change isn't getting any better, the wildfires are only, you know, seemingly getting worse, and the smoke that is, you know, comes along with them is something that seems to be impacting and touching more areas around the country and the globe where otherwise or in previous years or historically it just hasn't. Does that change the messaging at all for as far as like when you're not a meteorologist, but in terms of like looking ahead and forecasting in terms of what AQ what things will look like even 10 years from now? Does that factor into the messaging at all or the education and what to expect at least going forward?
Well, I think it's not just what to expect, but it's how to know where to get the information so that people can make decisions that are protective of their own health. So different people have different experiences, right? Like when last June, when we did have the high particulate matter, my eyes were absolutely on fire. I was attached to my eye drops. Some other people were less bothered by it. I know some people who were much more bothered by it. So it's to know what is good for you and then how to get the information. So I've said it a couple times already. I'm going to say it again. DE.gov/AQI. We have our forecast there. You can sign up for the alerts there. The other tool that we really encourage people to use is airnow.gov. Which gives people access to real-time data for particulate matter and ozone. And that's active throughout the year and it's throughout the country also. So if you're traveling, it also works. There's a phone app that works. And we just have this great resource now that even 10 years ago we didn't have. The real-time particulate matter monitoring is fairly new. So I think it's really exciting that people have access to this data and they can look at it. And actually, it's not only our monitoring stations. We have 11 monitoring stations in the state, and they are expensive to build and complex to operate. But there's air sensor technology that's also coming out. So I was at a library yesterday in Hokesen installing an air quality sensor. So now there is a particulate matter sensor at the Hokesen Library. So deploying sensors around also gives wider coverage and more information so that people have it during these events.
And when the air quality is very poor, it seems like at least when it is very poor, you can see it a bit. The sky is dull and the sun can look Mars-ish orange almost. You can smell it. It can be really nauseating. And is there any way you can tell when there is poor air quality outside of just looking outside or smelling the smoke? Would your best bet to, use something like a monitoring, technology or service, that kind of thing?
I mean, I would just encourage people to check airnow.gov. The sensors are fairly inexpensive. If someone is interested, it is something that people can install on their homes. There are indoor air quality sensors also. And then EPA has instructions. You can purchase, of course, like air filters for inside your house. Those can be quite expensive. EPA also has instructions for turning a box fan into a filter inside your house, which can be really
Wow.
helpful, especially if you're having a medical issue where you are extra sensitive to the pollution.
Right. Well, then what are some of those kind of ways to best protect yourself from poor air quality then? Like, there's air filters in the house, like the monitoring, the sensors, but outside of maybe just staying indoors and, closing the windows and running an air purifier and, all of the above, what can we do to best protect ourselves from poor air quality and maybe simultaneously improve our air quality?
Well, so we always encourage people to do things like to trip chain if you're going to go out, instead of going back and forth to your house five times, you go out and do all your errands and then come back. Not top off your gas tank, not mowing the lawn at 7 o'clock at night because that puts the emissions out into the air late in the day. So different actions like that. When it's particulate matter, you can wear a mask outside. That can be very helpful. And the masks with the vents on them that weren't okay for COVID do work when you're talking about particulate matter in the air. So that's a little bit of a difference. I guess a couple other things. We always encourage people to have their medication with them. If you're asthmatic, keep your inhaler with you and be prepared. And with ozone, we see ozone increasing throughout the day. So we're going to see the ozone peak every day, probably around late afternoon, like 4, 4:30, something like that. So we know that's going to happen. If it's a forecasted day for high ozone, you can get out earlier in the day to avoid that ozone peak. With the particulate matter, it's a little bit different because the air is coming in, from wherever, and it's harder to predict when the peak is going to come. So it's just a matter of keeping an eye on the data and seeing what works best for you.
Thanks to Angela Marconi, Director of Denrec's Division of Air Quality, and our Kyle McKinnon for joining us on The Green this week. And stay with us. We head to the Brandywine Museum of Art for Art's Playlist and a preview of a new exhibition showcasing the work of a longtime jazz photographer. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.